Now, before we turn to our reading, which is from Colossians chapter 3, let me just say a few words about the background of this reading. Colossians 3, in the first part of chapter 4, is, according to some people, perhaps an example of a first century inquirer's class that the Apostle Paul held, or a communicant's class for those who had just joined the Christian church. What we have here is some kind of outline of a syllabus that the apostle seemed to follow when teaching new Christians. We have here five areas of the Christian's relationship. The Christian's relationship to Christ, and we looked at that last week. The Christian's relationship to the local church. Then the Christian's relationship within the family. And then fourthly, at work, on employment. And then lastly, to outsiders. Well, perhaps Paul only had five meetings of his inquirer's class. We had seven. But whatever the Holy Spirit has given to us, I believe, notes here of very vital practical instruction for our learning. And today we are thinking of the second area of relationship, Christians' relationships within the local church. Our reading is Colossians chapter 3, verses 9 to 17, and John Nicholson is going to read to us now.
Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old nature with its practices, and have put on the new nature, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Here there cannot be Greek or Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free man, but Christ is all and in all. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassion, kindness, lowliness, meekness, and patience, forbearing one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in the one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teach and admonish one another in all wisdom, and sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Amen. And thanks be to God for his word.
The real unity of the church, said somebody, must not be organized, but exercised. That is to say, it's something that must be put into practice by Christians. And that, of course, is the thrust of the New Testament. Now, unity is very much in the mind of the apostle in this passage we're going to be looking at, and unity is very much in the mind of the hymn writer, whose hymn we're going to sing about, One Church, One Faith, One Lord. It's 424, and let's sing this heartily together. The Christian's relationship within the local church. That's our subject this morning. Now, I've read this out before, but it is relevant to what we are considering this morning, so allow me to read this again, and listen to what Bruce Larson, a Canadian author, writes. The neighborhood bar is possibly the best counterfeit there is for the fellowship Christ wants to give his church. It's an imitation dispensing liquor instead of grace, escape rather than reality, but it is a permissive, accepting, and inclusive fellowship. It is unshockable. It is democratic. You can tell people secrets, and they usually don't tell others, or even don't want to. The bar flourishes not because most people are alcoholics, but because God has put into the human heart the desire to love and be loved. And so many seek a counterfeit at the price of a few beers. But it is a counterfeit, for the real thing is to be found in Christ alone and in Christ's church as described, for example, in Colossians chapter 3. And we're going to look at this chapter to find out what it says about getting on with each other in the church, because this, I believe, is what the passage that was read to us this morning is all about. If you have your Bibles with you, then please turn to this passage and open it at Colossians chapter 3. And notice with me how Paul in this inquirer's class moves from the subject of the Christian's relationship to Christ to Christian's relationship to one another. Now there's a clue which shows us that this is the change of subject. It's the threefold mention of the word one another. Verse 9, do not lie to one another. Verse 13, forgive one another. Verse 16, admonish one another. This class of Paul's is about getting on with one another. Something that people in our world find great difficulty with, don't they? We're well used now to hearing politicians, even within the same political party, squabbling furiously with each other. And it has been known for partners in business to fall out with each other and go their own way and set up their own businesses. And despite what Bruce Larson says, the reality of the matter is there's an awful lot of backbiting goes on in the pubs and clubs. Why, we here in the manse, the noises from time to time of some fair old Barneys wafting over the night air from our neighborhood bar just at the top of the road there. Getting on with each other is something that's very difficult for people to do, and one has to say also in the church as well. So this passage, I would suggest to you, is of vital importance to us. And in this vitally important teaching, it seems to me that Paul gives to us a picture and then some principles to think about. A picture and principles to try and help us. The picture that he gives us is a rather unusual one. It's a picture of dressing or changing clothes. Several times in the passage, verses 8 actually to 14, he uses the words putting on and putting off. Putting off and putting on. Now these Greek words that he uses here several times are invariably used for dressing, for changing clothes. So we're taught here about putting some kind of clothes off and some certain clothes on. Now what are we to put off? Well, we're to put off sins of speech. For example, in verse 8, now put them all away, anger, wrath, malice, slander, and foul talk from your mouth. And then we've especially to put off dishonest speech. Verse 9, do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old nature with its practices. Put off. Now the word literally there means to strip clean off. That's what it means. Imagine somebody who's working in his garden, and it's a Saturday, and the rain's been pouring down, but he's a real glutton for punishment, so there he is digging and labouring and toiling in his garden amidst glour and mud, and he's there for several hours, and he slips and falls several times, so he's kind of covered in mud. And after a while, he's had enough, he calls it a day and tramps in through the back door into the kitchen, where his wife is busy baking pancakes. So what happens next? Well, you probably guess what happens next. An irate wife says, "You're not coming in here with these clothes. Get them off. Put them off. Strip them off. You've ruined a jersey and trousers. We'll have to throw them out." Has anything remotely like this ever been heard by you before? Probably not. But let me assure you, it does happen. So I'm told. And after that, the poor chastened half-naked individual seeks refuge in a hot shower. And it may well be that the old rags are thrown out, cast off. What is quite clear from what the apostle is saying is that these speech sins are to be cast off. "Take a good look at them," says Paul. "See them for what they are. Now throw these rags out. Put them off. Strip them clean off, because they belong to the old way of life." Do not lie to one another, he says. Now, why does he stress this in particular in verse 9? Well, surely it's because untruthfulness is totally inappropriate to the church, which is committed to the truth, as it is in Jesus. In fact, untruthfulness is actually a mark of a non-Christian culture. In the second half of this century, we've been well used and quite familiar to the power of communist propaganda, for example. That's what it's called. But actually, it's blatant dishonesty, as the ordinary folks in these countries behind the communist curtain, the Iron Curtain, have been told anything that the leaders wanted to tell them concerning the outside world. Untruthfulness leads to barriers in relationships, doesn't it? But in the Christian church, the barriers that divide people have been rent asunder. They've been put apart. That's what Paul says in verse 11. Here in the church, there cannot be Greek and Jew, slave and free man. But Christ is all and in all. So if Christ is all our Christianity in Christ and church, if Christ is in all of us in Christ and church, then there will be no significant barriers in our relationships with each other, and there will be no place for untruthfulness. So we've got to put off the old clothes and the old nature with its practices. But there's the other side as well, notice. Not only do we have to put off these things, but we've got to put on the new clothes that belong to our new nature. So we've got to go to our dressing rooms and go to our Christian wardrobes, and we've got to put on this marvelous set of clothes which is described in verse 12. Look at it. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, compassion, kindness, lowliness, meekness, and patience. We've got to put them on. And just as we have to dress ourselves and put on our clothes, and often we spend a lot of time and effort doing that, if we're going out, say, to a dinner dance or some special occasion, we've got to do it. And some people say that men spend longer time than women doing this, and I wouldn't like to comment on that at all, but I know that we've got to do it. We do it, and just in the same way in Christian terms. We've got to spend time and effort putting these things on as we relate to one another in the church. Putting them on. These five garments. And here's another one, verse 14. And above all these, put on love. That's agape love, of course, that which we looked at October, November, and December. And it binds everything together in perfect harmony. We've got to put it on. Yes, sometimes we've got to grit our teeth and put on this love. Well, sometimes it's a struggle and sometimes it's a tight fit. But we've got to do it. We've got to put it on. Now, perhaps there's somebody here this morning who's got an objection and is saying to himself or herself, well, that's all very well for you to say this, but I can't just put on love and patience just like that. It's not in my temperament to do that. But we can't blame temperament for failing to put on these spiritual clothes. We can't. Perhaps you've heard of the story of the little girl called Mary Ann, who was involved in a furious fight one day with her brother. And her mother came along and saw the fight and stopped it quickly and took Mary Ann aside and sat her down in a corner and then asked her this question. Mary, said the mum, why did you allow the devil to put it into your heart to pull your brother's hair and kick his shins? Little girl sat for a minute and thought and then said this. Well, I guess I did allow the devil to put it into my heart to pull my brother's hair. But to kick his shins was my own idea. And you know, that's very accurate theology. We can't blame the devil or our temperament or whatever for failing to put on these grace clothes that the apostle is describing here. And they're lovely clothes, aren't they? It's only the Christian that can put these on, because these qualities are not natural to a human being. What is being described here in verse 12, these five garments, and of course in verse 14, what's being described are qualities that belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. And they are beautiful qualities, aren't they? It's His compassion that's being described here. It's His kindness. And what a wonderful quality kindness is in our hard-boiled world. It's His patience that's being mentioned here. And He is marvelously compassionate and kind and patient to us, isn't He? I wonder what Christ has got written in His notebook for this next week. The things that He's got to do this next week in the church and in our lives. Well, I'll bet that He's got jotted down that He's got to be forgiving and forbearing to us this week. Don't you think so? If He isn't, then we're sunk. That's what He has been to us again and again. And so you see, that's why we've got to be that to each other. That's what verse 13 says, forgiving one another as the Lord has forgiven you. Forbearing one another, it also says in the same verse, verse 13. Now the word there is interesting. It literally means holding out for a long, long time before making a reaction. In other words, having a long excuse before you react. Some of us in the church have very short fuses, don't we? But what Paul is saying here is that the Christian has to put on a long fuse. So when that fuse is lit by perhaps a slight or a hurt or some folly, somebody else in the church doing it to us, well, what we've got to have is a long fuse, as long as the length of Main Street and back again and more before we react. We've got to put on a change of clothes. Put on agape love as the new nature belonging to a Christian. Okay then, here's the picture that's set before us. It's a picture of dressing and changing of clothes. A picture that's meant to help us to relate to and get on with each other in the church. But says someone, that picture's just too vague for me. I need more specific help. What is it that we are meant to do in the church in relating to each other? Well, Paul closes this little section by giving us three principles to follow. Three rule of thumb directions to keep at the forefront of our minds. The first is to do with the peace of Christ. It's in verse 15, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. So the first rule of thumb says, peace rules. Actually, there's often a lot of misunderstanding about this verse. This verse does not teach how an individual is to be guided in terms of feelings of peace. For example, I might decide that I've got to be a missionary in Greenland because I feel peace about it. Well, that might be the case, but this text has nothing to do with that. This text is about somebody living in a Christian community, somebody in the member of the church, as a member of the church. So what's the rule? Is it rivalry or peace? And it's obviously the latter. Let the peace of Christ be the umpire in your hearts. That's what it literally means, because the term had to do with refereeing in the ancient games. There's been quite a lot of controversy about umpiring in South Africa this winter. Those of you who are cricket enthusiasts will know that, in the series between England and South Africa. And you may know or not know that nowadays in cricket there is an ultimate umpire who gives the final decision on a run out based on a video replay. Well, the ultimate umpire in the church is the peace of Christ. So write this down in your notebook the next time you're going to a church meeting, and perhaps you're tempted to get steamed up about something. Write this down and look at it and read it. Peace rules. Okay? And we see that in verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you. What is to be the controlling element in worship services and praise gatherings, in the preaching ministry? Well, it's to be the Word, the living Word of God. It's the Word of God which is to feed us and produce in us the will to love. It's not emotional experience that can do that. It's only the Word of God that can give us the will to put these things into practice, to put them on. We've got to allow the Word to feed us. A visitor once to the mountainous areas in Southern California came across an old mountaineer whose two dogs were constantly fighting. And the visitor asked the mountaineer, which one wins? The old mountaineer chewed over his tobacco for a bit and then replied, the one I feeds. It's the Christian nature that we are to feed. And the only way of feeding the Christian nature is the living Word of God, letting the Word of God dwell in us richly, says the apostle.
letting it make its home inside us, controlling our urges and channeling our desires. There's the second rule of thumb. The Word dwells. Peace rules, the Word dwells. The third principle is mentioned in verse 17, and it's to do with the name of Christ. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The third rule of thumb, the name overrules. The name of Christ overrules everything we do in the church, in our relationships with each other. If we're to get on with fellow Christians in the church, then we have to put on our Christian spectacles and to see them as in Christ. To see them as those for whom Christ died, to see them as those in whom Christ lives, and to see them as those through whom Christ will one day rule. And if we have on our Christian spectacles and see people in Christ, then we'll be the more able to do everything in the name of Christ. That is to say, in the Spirit of Christ in the church. This service on the last Sunday in January is invariably a service when there is great joy and love as we welcome into the family of Christ and church new members who are publicly professing their faith in Christ. Can I say that I think God might be saying to us who are older members here this morning, what we've got to do is to set an example to these new members of what is described in Colossians 3. And what I think God may be saying to those who are joining the church today is, be determined to get involved in the life and the family of this church and play your part in all the relationships as described in Colossians chapter 3. The end result being that in respect of all of us as a congregation, the watching parish around us will sit up and take notice and say, as people said in the first century, see how these Christians love one another. May God bless his word to us this morning. Let's pray. We do. Yes, we do pray to you now, God, that your word will not go in one ear and out the other, but that we might not only be hearers but doers of that word, that by the help of your Holy Spirit put it into practice within our corporate fellowship here and within our individual relationships and friendships. Give us grace so to do, in order to bring glory and honor and fame to your name. And we ask this for Jesus' sake. Amen.